Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Welcome to Hard Currency, the Financial Times podcast on the foreign exchange market. I'm Roger Blitz, and our guest this week is Steen Jakobsen, chief economist at Saxo Bank. And Saxo Bank have just put out their outrageous predictions of 2017. Steen, we'll come to those in a moment. But how did you see the world at the beginning of 2016, and how do you see it now?
I think the main call we had last year was the inequality call. So basically, we used that to say, hang on a minute, this Brexit thing is going to be dangerous. That Trump is a real candidate. The movement behind that is the inequality and the anti-establishment move. So that was sort of mainly the theme. And in terms of the hard currency side, we were very much for a stronger dollar based on the fact that the money market regime change we saw in October, plus also, you know, the LIBOR and the currency default swaps.
In case listeners don't believe it, I was reading a note that Steen wrote in March and he predicted Brexit and Trump would happen. Just put the Italian referendum in context. Was that on your radar at the time?
No, of course not. I don't think it was even on Renzi's radar, to be honest. But I think he made a huge and very, very rookie mistake of believing that taking any EU question to the voters would work in his favor. You remember, not a single vote in European history has actually worked when you ask the voters, which I think a lot of politicians tend to forget. But I would say that the Italian vote confirmed that they are not reform friendly. And I think the most likely scenario is a bureaucratic government probably buying time into the 2018 expected election. But I also think that the more crisis we get in Italy, the more likely it is that Europe would actually start moving forward on the agenda that they tried from Brussels to go for so long, i.e. getting a true Europe, a more unified Europe, and a Europe where Germany plays a bigger role in terms of being more stimulant to the rest of the economy.
And does that mean the euro as a currency, does that mean it's going to have a volatile 2017?
I think that we were probably seeing in euro dollars, which I think most of your listeners is interested in, and euro sterling, we'll see that we will have a parity, a 102, 103 test. That is possible. Yeah. But I think the longer trend and the next 10% move in euro is actually on the upside. And when I travel around Europe, especially Eastern Europe, but also the what we used to call the Club Med countries, yeah, we're seeing that these countries are doing well. They are competitive. And very often their growth rate is 1 or 2% even above the US. So I think we forget that the fundamental story of Europe is very sound. I do agree that the political noise is larger than it's ever been, but do not underestimate the willingness and the hard working. And then technology is going to be playing in Europe's favor because we can do robots as good as anybody's.
So Saxo's outrageous predictions, amongst them is that Brexit is not going to happen. This feeds into this narrative that actually Europe is going to move more towards the UK position?
You can take the headline as it is and say it's never going to happen. Or you can say that the deal that Cameron actually had going into the referendum exactly and very similar to the deal that UK is now trying to achieve. Yeah. The only difference really is the sterling is 25% cheaper. So if they did this on purpose, it was a very good exercise. Of course, they didn't. But I think at the end of the day, what is important for the UK and for the investors in the world is that the UK is going to have the same access to the single market, in my opinion, yeah, despite all the strong rhetoric on both sides. And I think the only real differentiator is that in the UK, we now have a proper conversation about what UK needs to look like in the future. We didn't have the ability to have that before. No. And we have sterling 25% weaker. And to me, that sets up a very, very strong year for sterling in 2017.
Right. With all this political noise. And so just give us a run through of some of your currency predictions for next year, what you like in particular next year.
So I think we see the peak of the dollar around the inauguration, if you want to use a catalyst, okay, because you also have to remember academically and practically, when Fed is in a rate hike cycle, actually the dollar weakens. It doesn't actually get stronger. Yes. And the reason for this, of course, is that it's a reserve currency. So by hiking interest rate, it actually takes away from growth in the rest of the world, and hence forcing the dollar to go down and in value to replace this lost output growth. So I think Fed hiking and promising to do again, by the way, 2 to 3 hikes next year will make the dollar weaker per se. And I think Trump has over-delivered in terms of expectations.
The Trump disappointment is a big call.
It's a big call for next year. Yeah. I think I like to phrase this in the following way. I think Trump is going to be much better than the liberal left thinks he's going to be, but he's going to be far worse than the Wall Street wants him to be.
Where does this leave space for other currencies, therefore?
So we have the Chinese equation, which I think is important. China, just coming back from China, Chinese is continuing the transformation from being an exporter to being a consumer economy.
You're talking about 8% GDP next year, aren't
we? In the outrageous prediction, yes. Yeah. But even in our proper, if I may say that, GDP, we are positive. Think about consumer spending in the next 15 years, quoted by the Economist's own unit on China, is going to grow by more than the total spending, consumer spending in Europe today. And the consumer spending on its own is going to grow by 5.5% year over year. So as consumption becomes a bigger part of the Chinese economy, also the underlying firm growth in China will actually be replaced. And then technology is a huge driver.
Okay. And you're just back from Japan. You're looking at the yen going where next year?
The yen is going to be strengthening, going back towards
the
100.
Dollar's weakening then.
And I think that is going to be a story of inflation overshoot in Japan. Right. Don't forget, the two biggest pools of savings in the world is China and Japan. China is already starting to unleash some of this money into the spending side. And in Japan, they're importing a lot of goods from China. And China's PPI price has gone from being export of deflation to now being plus 1.1%. Japan's going to feel some of that. Wages are relatively tight and government's pursuing a policy of actually increasing it. And on top of that, I think that the JGBs with the new fixed rate policy of zero interest rate at 10 year could actually drift towards a 40-50 basis point.
Sure.
So that will put sort of the omen on Japan to have a higher than expected inflation outlook, plus that the import prices through energy as well will put the top line growth higher.
You were saying at the beginning of the year that you thought we needed to move away from central bank monetary policy, the rock stars, towards more infrastructure spending. This now appears to be happening, but you presumably have doubts as to how it will be implemented and how successfully.
More to the technicality of it. So think about the US. So Trump, he can do whatever he wants in every size he wants, theoretically, but he cannot implement it before he gets to the actual calendar year of October, because of course the annual budget in the US runs from October to October.
Yes.
So we have a gap between now and October where basically the world is at risk. Then we see what needs to be delivered and what will be delivered, and that's probably a very different story. I think a lot of people in the US has hoped that Trump, it was going to be very different from the candidate when he became president. I think the early signs is actually he's going to be very much like the candidate.
Yes.
And that net, as talking as an economist, is going to be negative for growth in the US, which again vindicate the view that, yes, the dollar strength will continue a little bit, but it's the momentum overdrive that is presently driving all these valuations.
Although just finally, Steen, another of your outrageous predictions is the peso is going to soar. Mexico's not going to have this great pressure on it.
We love the Mexican peso against the Canadian dollar, especially. I mean, Canada is one of the few countries that really hasn't changed, that has remained very conservative, is the illusion the PR agency of Canada is showing. But they have a huge housing bubble, a very concentrated banking risk, commodity exposure. On the other hand, Mexico remains extremely competitive in every sense of the word that you want to use. I think Mexican pesos has been overdone, and I certainly don't see any walls coming up. If there's any wall, it's going to be to Canada.
Can't wait to have you back this time next year, Steen, to see how many of these outrageous predictions that come true. My thanks to Steen Jacobsen of Saxo Bank. Next week on Hard Currency, we'll be discussing the reaction to the Fed meeting. Does it raise rates? What will it say about the path of rates into 2017? Join us again for Hard Currency. Goodbye.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.